receive your word to be transformed, renewed, restored, graced in every area of our lives with your favor, empowered to live victoriously, elevated into new dimensions of supernatural living, because your word, O God, is activated in our lives. Thank you, Father, that it is so. And Lord, O God, that your name is exalted in us and through us. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight and empowering us to live life to the fullness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are studying from the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 10. We stopped in verse 16 last week, and we'll pick it up from there tonight. Actually, we got up to verse 17, I believe. Verse 17 of this passage says, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of God tells us there is a highway that fools will not walk in. This statement here is a very striking statement. He says when we keep instruction, when we listen, receive, and follow instruction, and I may prefix that by saying godly instruction, because you can get all kinds of instruction that isn't godly. You can be instructed to do all kinds of crazy stuff. So, based on the context of the book and based on the context of the God life, the instruction here is following the Word of God. He says, the person who keeps instruction, who listens to it, who obeys it, who's living out the instruction by doing the instruction, that person is in the way of life. And if he's in the way of life, he's not in the way of death. But he that refuseth, and the inference here is he that refuses instruction, godly instruction, he that refuseth reproof when they are doing something wrong errs. Now, when you put all of that together, what the Word of God is saying very clearly to us is this, that the person who's in the part of obeying the instruction of the Word of God is in the way of life. But it is not saying that that person never makes mistakes. And so if he makes mistakes and is not doing what he's supposed to do and receives reproof, That is wrong. Don't do this. Why are you doing that? You know better. But deafens his ears, will not listen, will not take instruction, that person is going to err. Then it says this, and this is a very interesting statement here. He that hideth hatred, and remember what we talked about hatred week last or so, it tells us, talking about hatred, it says hatred in verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes. Hate stirs up strife. Hate causes people to start going after each other. Now, in this verse, he says, he that hideth hatred, which stirs up strife, with lying lips. In other words, he's there, he's causing all kinds of problems, but he's not showing that he's the one. He says, and he that uttereth a slander, the person who is hating but with lying lips, it's not saying that he's the one causing the problem. This green snake under the green grass, you may say, camouflaged. It says, that person, and he that uttereth a slander, they are both fools. The one that is playing games and stirring up strife but doesn't show his hand, and the one that is bold-faced, slandering, it says both of them are fools. What does the Word of God call a fool? The Word of God says, it is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. In essence, the person who's playing games, like the green snake on their green grass, camouflage, pretentious, speaking niceties in front of you, but is actually backstabbing, he's saying, God doesn't see me playing these games. And the slanderer, on the other hand, is saying, God can't do anything about this. Both of them, the one that is hiding and the one that is obvious, the Word of God says, he's a fool, because it's going to come back and bite. It's amazing to me through the years when I've been in board meetings, and I've been in a lot of board meetings in different settings, that when an issue is being addressed, I don't just look at the people that are talking. I look at the person who is silent. Because the person who is silent sometimes is the one that is controlling stuff. And you need to pull that person out so that you know exactly what's going on. If you don't know what is going on from that person, you may go out of that meeting thinking everything is good, and then find out, no, everything didn't go good. Because the person who's busy pulling the strings is right there. That's the person, that's the boss man. All of these are just talking bobbleheads. But the real person is this one here that is silent. That's the person that the Word of God says is hiding hatred. with lying lips. When they speak, sounds nice, but in that honey is cyanide. And so it is important that as we live life, we remember to have God full center in our lives and assume nothing. Assume nothing. Just trust God. Then it goes on and says, in the multitude of words, they wanted not sin. Yap, 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 yap. Too much talk draws in sin. There's no lack of sin in the multitude of words. So keep your words few. Said, God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we can listen twice as much as we speak. You keep on talking too much, sin is going to come out. Sin is going to have its hold. Watch the Lord Jesus Christ with the devil in the wilderness. All he said was, it is written. He spoke the word of God to counteract whatever the enemy is trying to say. He just spoke the word of God. And what we need to do at all times is to come into the discussion from a God perspective. What will God say about this situation? It goes on and says, in the multiverse there wanted not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. If there's anything that we need to settle, it is that last statement. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. In the multitude of words, it's not that there is nothing to talk about, but you don't have to talk about everything. You can't kill every fly. So you must be discerning on what you want to engage in life. Some people just want to engage with everything. Sometimes you just need to, it's not worth it. No, I'm not going to say anything about that. It's not worth it. If I start talking about this, then this is going to come up, and then that is going to come up, and then that's going to come up, and before you know it, sin has come in. So, let sleeping dogs lie. If you want to have healthy, wholesome relationships, I'm not saying tolerate what is wrong. That's not what the Word of God is saying. But you can't deal with every little issue. If you want a healthy home, you can't deal with every single issue. If you want healthy relationships, you cannot spend your time dealing with every issue. You must be discerning. What is it that I want to engage in? What is it that I need to talk about? Because this is of utmost importance. This is foundational. Then deal with that. Then just deal with that. Don't try to put your hands into everything. You don't have to talk about everything. Some things you just need to just deal with, take it out of the way, rather than talk about it. Or you become a nagger. Because there's so much that you can talk about every single day, believe me. There's all kinds of things you can talk about. Hey, Pastor, your jacket is very wrinkled. Oh, your hair is not properly combed. Well, it might be a needful thing. We have to talk about it. Except if you have a wholesome relationship with a person and you can tease and whatever else, but you have to watch it. You just have to watch it. You have to know what the setting is. Yeah, this guy is my friend. I can talk to him about anything and everything, but even then, you have to gauge the atmosphere and say, is this the right time to talk about this? That's how you keep a wholesome, healthy relationship. Are we together? Amen. So sometimes you just need to refrain your mouth. Just hold back. He says when you do that, you're wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. What is choice silver? Choice silver is refined. So the tongue of the just is refined. You know, you're taking all the garbage out. You're purifying it. The heart of the wicked is little worth. And out of the abundance of your heart, you're going to speak. And the word of God says, the heart of the wicked person is of little value. In other words, then, don't put too much value to what somebody who's speaking wickedly has to say. Because all the wicked person is going to do is speak twisted things around you and make you feel condemned and shamed. That's what he wants to do. So don't buy into that. God says, his words of little worth, little value. Now, it didn't say it is worthless. It says it's of little worth. Now, what does that mean? It means that you need to filter out what element of truth there might be in that those wicked words that are coming, and better yourself. That makes sense? Yeah. Don't junk everything and say that, blah, 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 blah. No, no. What in what he or she has said is valuable that I need to remove so that I can become that choice silver? Because the devil doesn't totally tell all lies. If it is absolute black and white lie, you don't need to be discerning. You can see it plain as day. This is a lie. However, if he mixes the lie with some element of truth, that's what makes the lie effective. So what do? Find the truth, separate it from the lie, and make yourself better. That makes sense? Yeah. The lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous feed many. That is such, oh my Lord. I don't know if you are getting this. I pray you're getting it. I pray we all get in it. The lips of the righteous feed many. When you feed people, you're giving them life. So the statement, the lips of the righteous feed many, is that it is feeding many life. It's giving them nourishment. It's giving them the capacity to continue to live. It's causing them not to be famished. The lips of the righteous, what is coming through those lips? The thing that is inside of them, the abundance of life that is inside of them, so that when they are speaking, it's like choice silver, and it is bringing an ornament of grace and favor and feeding the multitude. However, fools die for want of wisdom. Fools die because of the lack of wisdom. What is that statement all about? It's saying the words of the fool, just give it time. People will see it clearly. And it will die a natural death. When you're steadfast, doing what is right, there comes a point that even your enemy becomes friendly towards you, because they can relate. I'm not an American. I'm Canadian, but I listen to American news too. I see what is happening in the judicial system just out here in the U.S. and how obvious it is that the judicial system is being maneuvered every which way. Now, you can be on the side of this person or the side of that person, but one day it will strike. Wait a minute. I don't like this guy, but the way they're twisting this judicial system just to attack this person, what if that were me? What if that happens to me? What if the other side does the same thing to me? Maybe we need to keep our judicial system out of all of this political nonsense and just let it be what it is. Justice blind to whatever else, but what is the truth? And interestingly enough, with all of the push, it keeps on backfiring because of that same element. But fools die for want of wisdom. It keeps on doing the same thing over and over, and fails here, and then they try this and it fails there, and they try this and it fails there, and they try this and it fails there. It will continue to fail. The agenda of the enemy will continue to fail. It's just the way it is. It may seem like the enemy is getting away with something, but the end result is that the enemy flunks out. There comes a day where it all ends. Amen? Now, it seems like there's a shift in the next verse, because it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. It doesn't seem like anything we've talked about so far has any connection with that particular statement. But interestingly enough, it does. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It is God who gives you power or the forces to be wealthy. The blessing of the Lord. What was the blessing of the Lord? The blessing of the Lord is the words that God spoke over a life. That blessing of the Lord multiplies and increases and empowers. And the word of God saying here, the blessing of the Lord, the word that God speaks over your life, the words of God that he has put inside of you, which is like choice silver. It is what is going to make you rich. This blessing is not just, I am blessed. It is me declaring also that blessing over my life. And the word of God saying, it maketh. It is what is going to make you rich. It is what's going to make you succeed. It is not in the conniving activities of tearing somebody down, slandering somebody up front, or being deceptive like the green snake under the green grass, you know, living a camouflage life that's going to make you make it in life. That's how the world tries to do things. They try to work their things, do their secret planning and so. No, no. God says, the way you're going to make it is you recognizing that you're blessed. And in that blessing, pronouncing that blessing, prophesying that blessing out of your life will make you rich. And there'll be no sorrow added to it. Because it comes from above. It's coming out of the word of God. God keeps on elevating you in life. There is no peaking. Because God, everything he's created doesn't peak. The universe is still expanding from the words God spoke. And God is saying, my words in you are going to make you rich. Rich in what? Not just rich in finances, but rich in your relationships. Rich in every aspect of your life. Amen? Excuse me for a moment. Let me just take a sip here. It maketh rich. And no sorrow is added to it. This blessing of the Lord is going to cause you to rise. Jabez says, bless me, barak me. Bless me indeed. He was called a bad name, sorrow. But the man says, what people call me doesn't matter. What really matters is that you barak me, and barak me indeed. He says, if you do that for me, my life is going to be perfectly okay. Actually, why don't we do this? Let's look at Jabez for a moment. In 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9, he He says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. What makes him more honorable? Doesn't tell us yet. He says, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. But the honorableness, the honor aspect of his life comes clear when the Bible says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Now, that word indeed and the word bless are the same. So that verse actually could read, oh, that thou wouldst bless me, bless. He emphasizes that blessing. And enlarge my coast. Oh, your name is sorrow. No, bless me, Barak, me. Bless me. Bless, bless, bless. What does that mean? To bless. It means to enlarge. It means to multiply. It means to increase. It means to honor. It means to adore. It means to adorn. Are we together so far? And he's saying, I just want you to grace my life. I'm not listening to the names that they call, because your blessing on my life will turn everything around. I don't need a name change. I just need the blessing. And bless me indeed. How do I want it? Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my environment. And that thine hand might be with me. I want your hand to be with me. And that you will keep me from evil. So that it does not grieve me. I don't want evil. That it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. He requested the blessing. Now that we know from Proverbs that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, what should be the precursor to our prayer? Lord, make me rich. Oh, Lord, bless me. You know, many times people run after riches. The devil also can give you riches. But what the devil cannot do for you is bless you. The devil cannot bless you. All the devil has is a curse. But the devil can give you riches. He offered it to Jesus. He says, all of this is mine. And whoever it is I want to give it to, all I want you to do is bow or kneel before me. Guess what that word bless means? It also means to kneel. Sometimes when I'm looking at the word of God, my head starts going like this. It's too much. Barak means to kneel. Yeah. Because it's in the kneeling, in the humility before God, that God elevates. Remember what the word of God says, humble thyself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. So the key to be in increase, to experiencing the blessing of God is in humility before God, following the instructions of God. So the blessing of the Lord maketh rich boils down to God being able to speak to you and speaking to me and our obedience to his directives. It might not look like you've been blessed, but the ultimate manifestation is the blessing of the Lord, the enlargement of the Lord. When it seems like nothing you're doing is working, it's working. There's that song that we sing, even when you don't know it, he's working. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it doesn't look like much is going on, but much is going on. Something is happening. God is fortifying you, and there is no sorrow added to it. He's establishing you, because the reality of life is this: new levels, new devils. Let me say that again. New levels, new devils. And if you want to be able to withstand the devils ahead of you, you got to obey God in the now, because God is always preparing you for the next class. Hallelujah. He's preparing you. Now, whether the devil drags you to the class or the Holy Spirit drags you to the class you're going to go through. You're going to go through it. One way or the other. You're going to go through the class. When you go through that class, God wants you to pass that class. Amen? Hallelujah. So the blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It makes. So it is not me desiring riches. It's me desiring the manifestation of the blessings of God in my life. John will put it this way in 3 John. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. How is your soul prospering? Your soul prospers by the word of God that you're feeding on. In Joshua 1, I believe it's verse 8, God speaks to Joshua and says, you got to meditate on my word. Meditate on this word. He says, that's how you're going to make your way prosperous. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, day and night is not just the 24-hour period, but day and night is when things are bright and clear, no trouble, everything is fine, and at night when things are dark, when you've got issues, don't go away from the word of God. The same word of God that will keep you in the daytime of your life will keep you in the nighttime of your life. The word of God, the presence of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So hold on to the word of God no matter what. Amen? He says, when you meditate, he says, you need to meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's how we started this evening in verse 17 or 18. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You are going to make it prosperous. By what? By the words that you've been meditating on. And then thou shalt have good success. Good success. So, Lord, help me. I want to walk in your blessing. How is the blessing going to come? You're meditating on the word. Lord, give me a hunger for your word. Help me to understand your word so that my life is positively impacted. Help me to receive your word and grant me grace to obey your word. For without you, I can do nothing. That makes sense? Without you, I can do nothing. So I don't need to come, you know, in the spirit of arrogance. Say, I did this and I did that and I read so much. And so you've read 20 chapters a day. How much of that 20 chapters a day that you've been reading is changing your life? I'm in a Bible study program. Okay, good. Are you allowing that Bible study to study you? Is it just head knowledge? I know this verse. It's amazing to me how much I don't know. I was doing a television program yesterday. I was going to speak on something else. And when I sat across from this desk, the Lord took me to a particular passage. So I want to talk about this. So I read the passage of Scripture. And it was such a powerful verse. But I don't ever remember me preaching from that verse in all these many years. And I've never heard anybody preach on that verse. And I'm looking at this verse. I say, Lord, what are you trying? I'm on television right now. What are you trying to say? Please help me. You just got me into this now. I'm speaking to 180 something countries right now. God, what are you saying? Please help me. You know, so I kept on repeating the same thing. I'm sure, you know, those that were listening, you know, and recording were saying, okay, he's handling it, it's okay. But I was sweating bullets. I was sweating bullets. Because the verse said, now that they've eaten of the fruit, they have now become like us. Knowing good and evil. And I'm saying, Lord, how can you be doing this to me right now? What are you saying? You said you created them in your image and likeness. I know this verse has been there all this while. I've read it so many times, looked at it. I don't know what this is talking about, and go on to the next verse. And now I'm live. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, what is happening here? This is going to be bad. And it was like, the Lord says, son, don't worry about it. Let me take you. So he took me. And I heard it.
ah, this verse has been here all this while. This verse is such a powerful verse. Oh, my Lord, how is it that I've not preached on this? Because you've not asked me about it. And I know you're wondering, what did I talk about? Well, I'll just give you a hint. And one of these days, I'll go to the passage of Scripture. And the Lord says to me, he says, yeah, I didn't want them to experience evil. But how does that relate with you? He said, I experience evil when the one that I trusted, the one that I loved, I gave the very best, betrayed me. Have you ever been betrayed? He says, I didn't want them to experience that kind of a pain. And that's why I took them out of the garden so that they don't live forever experiencing pain. I want that pain to end. And I say that to say this. God wants you and I blessed and not to experience sorrow. That's what Adam and Eve experienced. And God wants that to end. I know I didn't go deep enough for you because the time is wrapping up. But one of these days, I'm going to come back to that passage for the benefit of everyone. But God wants you blessed. And we need to meditate on the word of the Lord. It is in the meditating in the word of God that we are filled. And out of the abundance of your heart, that which you've been meditating on, your mouth is going to speak. And your mouth is going to generate the many forces, the armies of God. Because that is what gives you the power to get wealth, to get resources. But it starts with getting the word of God first inside of you. Asking for the blessing, God bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Without you having the solidarity of the word of God enforced and established inside of you is going to cause you to fail. Remember the sow of the seeds. Some fell on the pathway, some on the rock ground, and some fell amongst thorns. Now, those that fell amongst thorns, they came into wealth and the resources of this world, and those things choked the word of God out of their lives. How many times have I seen it? People look, they want the blessing, they want the blessing. Now the blessing comes and boom, their whole life is choked. They're running after things, trying to protect their kingdom when they should first be seeking the kingdom of God. And if the foundation of true blessings is you seeking God's kingdom first, and then God adds to you. That's what's going to make you rich without sorrow being added to it. Amen? Well, let me just touch on 23, and then we'll be done tonight. It says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. That's what we need. To have understanding. And we're going to begin to see now that we've come again to remember the three things that are primary as we study the book of Proverbs. Do you remember them? wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you see them going hand in hand over and over and over and over and over again. But it says here, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. This is his excitement. This is his entertainment. Just like sport brings entertainment and excitement to people and causes them to come alive. He says, for the fool, it is doing mischievous things. That's what makes him happy. That's what entertains him. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. In essence, wisdom being the active doing and obedience to the word of God. Remember the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wise man comes, hears my words, and does it. That's his entertainment. That's what excites him, doing the will of God, seeing the multitude being fed. That's what excites him. It's not grab, 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 whatever it is he can collect it and can it and keep it. But rather, how can I be a blessing? What can I do to help somebody else? How can I obey God's instruction today? And understand, as we wrap up, that you doing the will of God doesn't necessarily win you accolades. You can be doing the will of God, and even the closest persons to you might be saying to you, hey, that's too much. You're giving too much. Or like they say in Nigeria, you know, family will say, you're carrying the church on your head. That means that's all you do. You don't have a life outside the church. Well, that may be true, but I'm not doing it for the accolades of men. I'm doing it as unto the Lord, following the directives of the Lord, doing what God is asking me to do. And therefore, I'm expecting the blessings of God in my life. And when the blessing of God comes on your life, because you're obeying God, like Caleb, you'll be 85 and you'll be saying, I'm just as strong now 40 years later. Give me that mountain. And God will not be saying, and I'm not messing around with Joshua. You know, God told Joshua, meditate, meditate, meditate. But notice what Joshua did. Joshua crosses to win the first battle of Jericho, and he falls apart in Ai. And he points his finger at God. And God says, this has nothing to do with me. There's sin in the camp. You didn't check with me. You didn't seek my heart and make a decision based on my direction. Joshua makes a deal with a tribe that is close by because they showed him moldy bread and canvas or sandals that are very worn, and said, when we started this journey, this was brand new. This was a brand new Gucci shoes. But look at it now. But it was just next door, and he cut a deal with them. He didn't consult with God. And so now he makes a deal with the enemy. And now, having made a covenant, he could not go any further. Caleb heard the word of God one time, through Moses, not even directly from God, through Moses. And he holds on to that word. And he says, I'm young. What God says about Joshua, who had all the word, God kept on saying to him again and again, Joshua, I think it's in Joshua 14. Joshua, you are old, man. You are old. Much was given to him. And why God says of Caleb, Caleb followed me wholly with all of his heart. God didn't say the same about Joshua. But Joshua started out really well. When everybody else were out there, Joshua was hanging around with Moses. And when Moses left talking with God in the tabernacle, Joshua still stayed there. Did not leave, but he did not continue. My prayer for every one of us is that we continue, that we start strong, that we finish strong, that we accomplish everything God has called us to, and that that which truly entertains us be the doing of the will of God, walking uprightly before God, and living a life that honors Him as we worship in spirit and in truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's where we'll stop today, and we'll pick it up from the next verse next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we place our entire lives before you. And we ask, O God, that you use us fully. And Lord, O God, that at no time will we back down or slow down or do anything that dishonors you. Father, that our heartbeat will always be to honor you and to glorify you. Like Jabez, we cry out, O Father, bless us indeed. Enlarge our coast. Keep the wickedness of evil away from us that we are not grieved. Do for us what no man can, and cause us to shine brightly at all times. Fight every battle for us. Bring us to the winning side all of our days. Help us to meditate on your word. Help us, O God, to walk looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let your hand of blessing be upon us. As Jabez cries out to you, let your hand be with me. This we pray, your hand with us, helping us, your hand fighting for us. Be, O God, our Father and our fighter. Blessed be your holy name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. That's a powerful message that the pastor, he taught on this about 2-3 weeks ago. And hearing it a second time tonight, brought so much more, because it's like reading the Word. You read a scripture, and it gives you a certain amount of information. You read it a second time, it gives you more. You read it a third time, it gives you more. And it's never ending, because you get into different dimensions of understanding as you understand more. And it's like you said, sometimes it's like, I don't know nothing. Because you fall into dimensions where the questions within you, and it's the Holy Spirit working in you, trying to reveal something into you. And you're asking more and more questions about the same scripture. And tonight I found that was so much like that for me, because I received more than the first time I heard it. So hearing it 2, 3, 4 times is a good thing. Because the second and third and fourth time, you'll receive even more. I thank God for who He is, because He is so mighty. He is so deep. How many of us tonight want the goodness of God in their life? Thank you, Lord. We can all use it, especially nowadays. We're in such a deceiving world out there. This world that we're in is what he started preaching about tonight. Where there's deceivers, there's people that just want to trick you into doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And they want to cheat you, they lie to you, and they make things look different than what they should be. But the truth is that those who rely on God have a relationship with God. You need a relationship to rely on God. Then God is on your side. And when these things happen, when people try to deceive you, he opens your mind to understand what's happening. It's happened so many times with me where it's kind of like, don't believe that lie type of thing. Don't believe this man or this woman, or they're lying to you, they're trying to cheat you. So you walk away. God saves you so many times like that. But you need that relationship. And if you want that relationship, you can pray this each and every day. And just ask Jesus, Lord, be Lord of my life. Walk with me. Teach me your ways. Teach me everything about you. Teach me what I should be doing today, one day at a time. Learn about God. God is so real. And we don't know who he is. And did you know that even the angels in heaven that have been around him forever, for a long time, I shouldn't say forever, but for a long time, because they were created by God too. Every time they go around God, they see something new about him. So we being around for only a few years, whatever age you are, how much do you really know about God? Very little. The angels know a lot more about God than we do, and yet they're still learning about God. So God is big. God is great. He loves each and every one of us. And that's the first thing you got to know, is that God loves you. God cares for you. And if you want him to be in your life, just tell him, Lord, say it right now. Lord, I want you in my life. And change my life. Walk with me. Teach me your ways. Forgive me of my sin, my deceivableness. and change my life to being a man that wants to serve you. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And walk with me everywhere I go. And God will be there for you. God will be there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So receive that and believe it. Some days it might seem like he's not there, but don't worry about it. He's still there. He's still there. He never leaves you. If you have any offering tonight, offering or tithe or a gift to give to God, there's many different ways of saying giving to God, but you're not giving to me, you're not giving to church, you're not giving to, it's giving to God. When you give, even when you give something to somebody on the street, do it as unto God. When you're giving to them, you're giving like to God. So, but here is important as well. And talk to your money as well that you're giving. Tell it to serve God. Tell it to serve God. Because I can give money to a guy on the street, and that money could be used for drugs or for the wrong thing. And I don't really want that. But tell that money to serve God. And when it, you give it to even that man who wants to use it for the wrong thing, it will bother him. Because you're sending, I believe you're sending with that money a spirit that will cause that money to make that man to serve God. I hope. It's always in hope. It might not work the first time. Or it will work, start working, I should say. It starts working the first time. And it will continue to work for a lifetime. But they need to come to the Lord. They need to be obedient to God as well. And someday we always hope that they do. So come and give, release your gift, and God will honor you. God loves a cheerful giver. Give with a smile. And God will, there's a little bank account in the heavens as well. He's filling it up every time you give something. And he's not cheap. God is wealthy. God is rich. He's got much. So don't be cheap with God, and God won't be cheap with you either. The Word of God says that. So tonight I want to thank everybody for coming here. I want to thank everybody for just loving God. Because loving God is number one. And you're here, there's a reason for you. Everybody that's here tonight, there's a reason for it. You need a part of what's happening. And I believe that you have all received what you need to receive. And sometimes it's even a healing that God gives to you, even when you enter the building. I have seen people being healed when they walk in and walk out. A man with cancer one time was walking out. He said the cancer got smaller and smaller. He only had 2 weeks to live. And the cancer disappeared on him. So God can do mighty miracles. I've seen that many miracles in this place. And we depend on God for that. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray a blessing on the people that have been listening. Father God, I pray that you bless each and every one that have been listening to your word, that they will walk in the word that they heard tonight as well, and everything that they continue to pursue. Father God, the word of God is more powerful than any two-edged sword, and it cuts and it fixes and it changes people. And Father God, we thank you that your spirit is what we depend on. You said that you would leave a comforter with us when you left. And we depend on that comforter. He is the healer. He is the one that we depend on for everything that we need. And I pray this blessing on everybody that's been listening, whatever the pastor's been preaching, Father God, teaching on, that you will receive it all deep in your heart and remember it when you need to remember it. In the name of Jesus, amen. YouTube, going to release you guys. Thank you for being here. Anybody online, we thank you for listening. Thank you for participating with us. And